While there are so many reasons to see Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, here are Gina Della from Pella's top 10 reasons to visit PellaWI.com now. Number 10, Pella of Wisconsin installs year-round. Number 9, every Pella of Wisconsin installer is Pella certified to ensure your complete satisfaction. Number 8, Pella of Wisconsin teams complete installation in as little as one day. Numbers 7 through 5, a 2020 survey rated Pella Windows number 1 for highest value, highest quality, and most preferred by Green Bay and Milwaukee homeowners. Numbers 4 and 3, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin has 6 lines to fit your style and financing to fit any budget. Number 2, now Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin's featured offer gives you 5 years, no interest, plus 5 months, no payments. And the number 1 reason to see Pella of Wisconsin now, these offers end January 31st. Set your free consultation today at PellaWI.com, PellaWI.com, or call 855-PELLA-WI, 855-PELLA-WI. Tell them Regular Joe sent you. Certain restrictions apply. See showroom for details.
Where does one find consistent conservatism? Let us think. Hey, you don't have to think too hard. Let me just break it to you here, okay? All right. This is the Regular Joe Show.
Good morning and welcome. Joe Gigante, your regular Joe, here with you 9:35 on this Monday morning. I'm going to go to the hotline. Joining me right now, former Lieutenant Governor and current gubernatorial candidate for the state of Wisconsin, Rebecca Clayfish. Good morning. How are you today?
Happy Monday morning, Joe.
I'm curious, digging. We've got a lot of ground to cover here. A lot of things going on last week in the state of Wisconsin. First of all, there seemed to be almost a what I would call an endorsement tour by the Speaker, Robin Voss, first going after Kevin Nicholson last week, I believe on Twitter, basically telling him not to run, which seemed like an odd thing to do, to say the least. And then later in the week, attacking Jonathan Wickman, all seemingly in some kind of service to endorse you as the gubernatorial candidate of choice. Is this a coordinated effort? I mean, what's going on with this?
This is absolutely not. And Joe, you of all people remember how I was treated back in 2010. No one should be told they're not allowed to run for political office. I experienced that firsthand. The Republican establishment basically said I didn't belong, that I wasn't allowed to be at their event. And I was bounced first off of the endorsement ballot at the Republican Party state convention. I would literally go to events, sit down at a table, and everyone would get up and leave. That is how much I was reviled. But you know what? I stood my ground. And today, I have been in this movement standing shoulder to shoulder with grassroots activists for 12 long years. I've never taken a Lincoln Day dinner season off. And so I don't believe that if you have something to offer in the public square, you need to be told to go home. Because I think I have something to offer, and that is the best defense Wisconsin can possibly get against leftist policies that are ruining the state. And that's why I am running for governor, to take down Tony Evers and give Wisconsin back to the people.
All right. Now, in light of what he did, Voss, with his comments, then squeezed in the middle of that, or kind of alongside of that, was a very public political vendetta that he executed against State Representative Timothy Rantham. Rantham has been one of the loudest voices calling for the fullness of investigation of the 2020 elections. He's released information that certainly does not put the Speaker in a very positive light, seeming that he was complicit with the expansion of use of these elite, now very clearly illegal, absentee ballot drop boxes. And that has led to him pulling his staff, which, by the way, not really punishes Rantham as much as it does the constituents, And that has led to the call. I was one. Kevin Nicholson has, Wickman has, Kyle Eudes, a lieutenant governor candidate, among others, have now called for the speaker's resignation because of basically, I mean, he's not acting like a leader. He's not acting like someone that really cares about getting to the bottom of these things. It seems that he's a purely political animal. Would you also call for his resignation in light of what's going on?
I'll say that I disagree with the speaker's decision last week. And when I was asked about this last week, that's what I said as well. And my fear is over his constituents, Timothy Rampton's constituents. I wouldn't have done that. But I'm not in charge of the intra-caucus discourse and disagreements. The governor's office is what I am concentrating on. And Tony Evers has so thoroughly screwed that up that I think that any gubernatorial candidate needs to focus on winning on November 8th.
And let me just jump in. Leadership. Let me just jump in. I agree 100%. I mean, remember, I coined the term one-term Tony, so I have a vested interest in making sure this man does not get reelected. I don't think anyone argues about that, but I want to come back to the question. So that's a no. I mean, it's a yes-no question. I'm going to go with that. That sounded to me like a no. You will not call for his resignation.
No, but I will say this. The people in the legislature are the ones who choose their speaker. I urge them to choose wisely.
I would agree. Now, what about the argument that as governor, if you were to be elected governor, yes, I mean, again, there's separate but co-equal branches, something else that Voss got into last week, like none of us have read the Constitution. But anyway, that being said, I mean, particularly if you win, we'd have a Republican governor. Ostensibly, we'd still have a Republican Senate and a Republican Assembly. And there's a certain level of de facto leadership, not that you control anything. But from that point of view, I get, you know, you're running for governor, but don't you think people in these leadership roles have an obligation to stand up for the very people they're going to represent for that kind of consistent leadership?
I think that it is a job of the governor to lead the legislature, not in their HR decisions, but on their policy decisions. That's why, Joe, I have already called for the package of bills on election integrity to be on my desk on day one, because I said I will sign them. And I think we're also, it's important to remember that we're suing the WEC to end those ballot drop boxes. And I was thrilled to see Waukesha Judge Mike Boren rule that they were illegal along with ballot harvesting last week. We needed that decision. But my lawsuit also extends to limiting the number of polling places within 30 days. That is wrong, and it is WEC completely flouting and disregarding the law. And the other thing we're suing on is making sure that these special voting deputies are allowed to go into nursing homes to prevent voter fraud from going on there.
Which, again, I think getting to the but now let me ask real quick on WEC. What do you support as a solution for WEC? I mean, right now, there's a couple thoughts. Put it under the Secretary of State. Abolish it. Start something new. I mean, again, one of the things people are, and this is why I brought up the question of Voss and leadership, people are tired of the status quo. They're tired of people getting frustrated, but nothing ever changing. How do we move forward when it's obvious and clear WEC is incapable or not willing to do their job and to provide us for fair, free elections that don't have this kind of controversy?
And I suppose that's another place where I disagree with the speaker. I would abolish WEC, and I've said that. They have been a lawless agency, and they have completely disregarded statute and constitution. I think they have turned our elections into a circus. And so I think whether we choose to put it under the legislature or the Secretary of State's office, elections in Wisconsin must have more authority for the voters so that they have essentially one throat to choke. They need to be able to bounce someone from office, whether it's the Secretary of State or their legislator, if elections go wrong. At the WEC.
Now, and I'm only because, you know, one of my comebacks to this would be, again, if we had a stronger speaker, this might happen quicker, which would go back to that resignation piece. I mean, here's the thing. The current investigation, the main one, there's several of them, but the main one is, you talk about a single throat choke, right now that is Voss. He's controlling the Gableman investigation, and that's going a lot of nowhere quickly. I mean, we're sitting on the heels of 2022. We've got the first votes coming up next month. We've got a primary later in the year and an amazingly important general election for governor, for senator, for state reps, some state senators. I mean, across the board, attorney general, we've got a huge election, and we have just as many answers as we had 10 months ago, which is to say we have no answers. We have the same malaise. This is why I think it's important to look at maybe that change in leadership is where it could actually get, you know, a little bit of a fire started.
I think that this is another place where I disagree with the speaker. I have said from the very beginning that it probably would have been far more effective and robust if you had put the Gableman investigation underneath the Campaigns and Elections Committee, which is the one run by State Representative Janelle Branch. Now we have two separate audits ongoing. But I am going to push back on you a little bit, saying we know nothing more, because we see the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty audit, and we saw the Legislative Audit Bureau audit, both of which did come out with findings. And my lawsuit against the WEC is based on the findings that the Legislative Audit Bureau came out with. You know, it is very clear that WEC is going around the law and disregarding it. I am taking my campaign funds and I am suing them directly in the Wisconsin State Supreme Court.
Well, and fair enough. I should have been more exact in my comment. There's plenty of information coming out. I guess to clarify what I'm saying is nothing is getting pushed forward in a definitive way through the legislature, which right now has the main control. Voss is that single point of failure again. And therein lies the frustration, because people want to have conservative leadership in this state. One of the greatest problems to that, the challenge to that right now, and I'm telling you from doing this day in and day out, talking to tens of thousands of people daily on the show, there are a lot of people that feel like it's not worth their investment if the party won't invest in getting to the bottom of it, and therein lies the challenge. And look, I believe everyone should go out and vote, but I also completely understand the frustration. It makes one wonder when you see some of the things that like came out over the weekend about Kathy Bernier, which we'll get to in a minute, with Voss and these kind of things, what's really going on? And they want clear-headed leadership that's going to say, you know what, we're not going to do business as usual. We need to, you know, turn over a few tables here and whip a few people out of the place of prayer, because we want to get things straightened out again.
Well, that's why I have said from the very beginning, we need to do whatever is necessary in order to get to the bottom of what happened in 2020. But on top of that, we also need to make sure that the WEC does not continue with their lawlessness into 2022. That's why I am suing, because WEC should have led. You're right. That's the way they actually are supposed to do their rule promulgation. They, by law, Joe, have to make their rules through a legislative committee called JCRAR, and I'm sure that you talk about this on your show nonstop, but they are completely ignoring the law. And apparently it's going to take my lawsuit to teach them to heal.
Well, I think, and I hope so. I guess I'll put it that way. I don't have much faith in the WEC at all at this point, figuring it out.
I have faith in the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Well, you
have a conservative majority, and take a look at what they have decided in the past on whether they take up cases like the one that we asked for original jurisdiction on. You look at how we asked, and you can only guess that they will take that case, because they said in the past, hey, we reject your case because you need to come to us before the election. I have standing. I am a statewide candidate, and I am coming before the election and seeking this remedy now that WEC be taught to heal and follow the law. That's why we're suing. That's why we're asking the state Supreme Court to take it up now in their court.
All right.
We don't have time to wait.
In the interest of time, because there's two other big things I want to make sure we get to before the end of this hour. Friday, stories came out, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and I forget, there's another one, I don't recall where, making the claim that you signed up as an indefinitely confined voter March 2020. And obviously the obvious question that comes from that is, given your stance on the lawsuit and on elections, isn't it hypocritical that you chose to sign up as indefinitely confined? But you, and I've seen the responses, you claim that this is, inaccurate reporting in the mainstream media. What happened?
Well, clearly there was a mistake made, and
by whom,
was
though?
The one to fix it as soon as I found out. But this is the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel doing the Democrats' bidding. If you look at all the quotes in that story, it's all the head of the Democrat Party who peddled it to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in the first place. This is why you can't believe everything that you read in big media or on the internet. So there was a mistake made. I was the one to fix it as soon as I found out.
Now, how was the mistake made? Because, I mean, people have to sign up for it. So that's why I'm asking.
Right. So in April of 2020, I requested the absentee ballot. And then you can see in a video I actually put out, I'm not indefinitely confined. I'm standing. I'm not in bed. And so I have my absentee ballot in my hand, and I say, I got my absentee ballot. Thank you, Town of Concord, which is my town. And then I also put out a video within those same couple of days showing people how to upload their photo ID. Well, I became so concerned about this because I'm like, I have not been asked to upload my photo ID that I actually called my clerk and was like, hey, I'm doing this video showing people how to upload their photo ID. Why was I not asked to upload my photo ID? He's like, oh, we have yours on file. I'm like, oh, okay. Never told me that I was on the indefinitely confined list. So I vote in August absentee again, but then I go in, and remember, I had requested my absentee ballot. So I go in November and I go to vote, show my photo ID, and they're like, well, we sent you an absentee ballot. I said, I never requested an absentee ballot. And so I went over and I said, why was I given an absentee ballot? They're like, oh, well, we'll just take you off of the list to get absentee ballots. So they clearly at some point must have had me on the indefinitely confined list. I don't know how. I don't have evidence to show that there was any tampering, but there was clearly a mistake made. I'm clearly not indefinitely confined. I requested an absentee ballot, and now the Democrats are peddling all of this to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The whole thing just seems very fishy to me, but I'm just going to say there was a mistake. The moment I noticed it, I fixed it. And we need to demand election integrity, and that's one of the reasons this is going to be a priority issue all the way through November 8th and in January of 23, when the legislature must deliver those bills to my desk.
All right, we've got to hit the break. We come back. I want to pick up on what you just said and then ask about this story alleging that Kathy Bernier is pushing for legislation that would make all these things that are bad and illegal, legal in Wisconsin.
This is the Regular Joe Show.